we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to another post-match edition of a Purely Arsenal podcast. It's been a fantastic week, and I've got Neil Shah with me. How you doing, Neil?
Happy days, son. Happy days.
Happy days. We've got to have more weeks like this for the next month. I'll be really happy. Been brilliant, hasn't it? I've also got James Johnson. How you doing, James?
Yeah, very well. I think it was Bob Marley that said, sun is shining, weather is sweet, Mikel Arteta moves your dancing feet, isn't it?
That's exactly the words. Those are the exact lyrics. Those are without doubt the exact lyrics. And back from his long-awaited return, I've got Mark Harrison. How you doing, Mark?
Oh, very well, mate. Very well, thanks. Nice to speak to you guys. And happy to be on such a positive weekend of action.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the last one, we talked about all the contracts, you know, Saka signing, but another one, Martinelli signed, which is brilliant. I didn't expect that, you know, having, you know, just come in a year ago, and obviously with his injury and whatnot, I didn't expect that. But it does seem the club, and I really liked what Eddie was saying about that. So we'll come back to that after the game. We want to get onto the game, but it's another fantastic thing before the game even started. But we went away to Wolves, and I personally, I didn't give us much hope. I think I predicted a win, but only because Neil and James had taken my draw results, basically. So I thought a draw. I think I spoke to Mark before the game. I think we said a draw. We'd be delighted with a draw. Yeah, so let's start with you, Mark, though, because we haven't had you on for a while. So what were your thoughts on the lineup, mate? And just overall thoughts on the game? Because he didn't start Pepe, did he? And I would just want your thoughts on whether you... I know his wife went into labour, but what are your thoughts on whether he would have started him and how he adjusted to that?
I get the feeling he might have started him because, I mean, he's been in good form, scoring goals and stuff. And, you know, I think he's coming on very well. Interestingly, in the interview afterwards, Arteta said that he was stuck with, you know, what to do anyway, and that made his mind up for him. Whether that's true or false, I don't know. But, that's what he said in the interview afterwards. I thought, you know, he's generally the game. I thought we were just excellent. I thought we did a job on Wolves, really, you know. We sort of took the sting out of them in the first 20. I think, we passed the ball around at the back quite nicely, you know, kept them at arm's pace. And I thought when the danger men got the ball, we were into them quickly, which I think is something that Arteta's, you know, put into the team, you know, to get to the ball quickly and not to stand off too much. And then, you know, we gradually grew into the game. And I thought by the time we scored, you know, we were comfortable. You know, Wolves weren't really sort of giving us too many problems, I thought. In fact, you know, I thought they, you know, we had the better of the first half in the end. And then, you know, we went on to the second half. It was very, very professional. I thought there was some, you know, excellent performances all over the pitch. The young players, again, you know, fantastic. It was just a very, very good performance. A place that, you know, they haven't lost at home all season. I don't think many people gave us a chance, including our own fans. And we, you know, we, I think it was the most positive performance under Arteta so far, just in terms of the, you know, the difficulty of the opponent and also the way we went about it. We didn't look phased, you know. I think it's amazing. I heard a stat this morning that it's the first time Arsenal have beaten a team above them away from home since 2015.
I saw that stat, yeah.
Mental. Did you see that? It's astonishing, isn't it? You know, we basically go away from home against teams above us and just lose, essentially. You know, obviously some draws in there, but to actually, I'm just astonished. You know, 5 years not getting a result, you know, going to a big game and not pulling it off. But, you know, just generally, I thought we were great. I thought the goals were excellent. You know, I thought he was quiet first half, Saka. I thought he was trying to get used to that position. He hadn't played there before, really, had he, on the wide on the right. But, you know, he was obviously feeling his way in. But the finish was beautiful. And I think, you know, Tierney's performances have been superb as well. And he does like pulling the ball back from when he crosses. Interestingly, in the interview afterwards, Saka said that he knows where to go when Tierney's wide. So I think what the plan is when Tierney gets to the byline, he likes to pull back rather than whip it across. And I think they head for the edge of the area. That's the kind of, you know, inference that was made. And then the second goal was, you know, fantastic. I'm sure we'll talk about it. But, you know, it was great to see Lacazette look like Lacazette. You know, he hasn't looked like himself for a while, but that was an excellent goal. So overall, just really, really pleased. I thought it was going to do us the world of good moving forward, Jack, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it was a really fantastic. Obviously, under Arteta, we'd beaten Chelsea at home. I think we beat United at home. I know we'd beat United at home. So we've had some good performances under Arteta. But obviously, like you said, the away from home issue, especially against a team like Wolves, that I think they've lost three away at home this season. But they've all been to the top six teams: Liverpool, Chelsea, and Tottenham. I think Tottenham beat them there somehow. But like you said, incredible record, and they've been faultless since they've returned from the pandemic. I think three wins out of three. I think, like Mark said, James, it was just such a mature performance, a professional performance, something that you don't really associate with this squad of players that have been under multiple managers now, and we've had the same issues. And he's getting players like Mustafi, like Luis, like, you know, even like Xhaka, that we've all complained about a lot on it. Maybe not you as much, James, but I know I've complained about
No. I've wrote some stuff down. I've got some apologies to give out later on.
Oh, perfect. There you go. Can you put my name on it and sign it? No, seriously, though, he's really... I mean, we've been told for a long time that some of these players are uncoachable. And I'm not saying they're faultless, and I'm not saying this was a faultless performance, but it's a huge step in the right direction, and the clean sheets that we're seeing, and the amount of chances we're giving up is so few. I mean, I wasn't that worried for a large part of the game yesterday, even if they had the ball a little bit more. I wasn't that worried for a large part. That's a huge change, isn't it, James?
Yeah, I mean, so going into it, the main consensus that we had from what I saw from everybody that I speak with and everything else was a draw. And I think you said we'd nick it. I know another people, I know a few other people said, yeah, we'll probably nick it. But like you said, you only went for that because me and Neil obviously picked the draws. But you look at it, yeah, Wolves, they were unbeaten in eight. They kept seven clean sheets. And it was an absolutely amazing performance. I thought it was superb. Lineup-wise, obviously, Pepe not being in there until I found out why. I was cussing it, going like, oh, what have you done? I'm like, you need Pepe in there. He's an outlet. Look at the stuff that he does. But when you found out why, you were like, oh, okay, that makes sense then. And I think yesterday, to a man, apart from, and, you know, again, I'm not singling him out. I don't like to dig at players unnecessarily. But Neil, you summed it up last podcast. We say what we see. I think Kolasinac was the only one yesterday who I thought had a stinker. I think everyone else was superb. And, you know, what was that? That's three consecutive games without conceding in the league on the bounce. First time we've done that since 2017. And the first time we've gone two away without conceding since 2015. So these small incremental changes that are happening, you know, I think like you've said just now, everyone's singing off the heme sheet. Everyone's buying into it. And once that's happening, it's all going well. And I mean, you know, yesterday was Independence Day. And Mikel Arteta, during the water break, I don't know if he was doing his President Whitmore, but they were certainly, you know, he was certainly listening to the speeches. Do you know what I mean? It's the first time when you actually look at it and you watch it, every single player is just focused on Mikel. They're engaging and listening to what he's saying. And, you know, towards the end of Wenger's tenure, it seemed as though the players were like, oh, do you know what? We'll sort this out for ourselves. Can't be bothered to listen to a word what he's saying. And then under Unai Emery, I think they didn't even know what he was saying. Yeah, they were like subtitles, maybe, even though some of them are Spanish or multilingual. But it's just like, this guy's a clear communicator, and he's, you know, even in the pre-match press conference, he was saying, weren't he, stuff about, you know, the communication at this club from top to bottom has been awful. And it's my role to change that on and off the pitch. But yeah, they're getting clear instructions. Everybody seems to be getting into it. And Neil, you know, I said it in the WhatsApp group, but you called it the other day, mate, when you said we're going to be talking about the younger players, but that's not to dismiss these older ones. It's the fact that if these older ones can get in with them and their energy and their enthusiasm, with their experience and their qualities, we've got a real chance to potentially get into Europe and potentially win an FA Cup and then build on that. And it's all going well. Like, you can't, there is nothing to complain about other than, like I said, that's Kolasinac. And again, that's not me singling him out. I just think he is dreadful.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one, Neil. I mean, when Kalashnik arrived, we liked his energy. We liked the way he got forward. But he's never really settled into the Arsenal team. He's never really settled into a position. No one's really had faith in him for a consistent amount of time at a left-back position. We always felt, you know, if he was in a back three, he'd probably play in a left wing-back. So it's kind of ironic to be now in a back three, and he's not playing as wing-back. He's playing as a centre-back. Do you get a feeling, Neil? Because I think Rob Holding's a little bit unlucky in this situation. I'm not saying Arteta's wrong. He knows much more than I do. But the feeling I get, Neil, with Serge Kalashnik, and I want to go on to the positives because this is probably the one negative we're going to talk about, but is that because he's a left-footed player, that seems like something Arteta wants in terms of positionally and maybe the passing options he has from that position. Do you get any other feeling as to a reason why Kalashnik would be a centre-back in this formation, Neil?
None.
Okay, let's move on.
Can I talk about something else?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's move on. No, I'm just checking. Well, let's talk about that. Let's just link on to that then. Because in the first 20, it was quite cagey, like Mark and Mark was saying. It was quite cagey. And I was texting, I think, everyone going, I don't see how we're creating here. I don't really see, you know, but when you look at the whole game in hindsight, it was a really professional performance. But what we did see early on was Tierney going absolutely mental at Kalashnik. In the end, I thought Tierney had a fine game, to be honest. Yep. And he was handling their most dangerous player, so we'll talk about that as well. But he really was covering for two there, Neil. And that's a little bit of a concern from my perspective. I don't see how he can move away from this formation, at least for the current sort of part of the season, because, you know, four wins on the bounce, how can you? But the Kalashnik position is a little concerning to me. And what did you think of Tierney's role, Neil, in the way he handled Adama Traore? Because he is a tricky player, isn't he?
Oh, really well. I mean, I just want to say just briefly, I mean, I think just touching on what the other two said, I think that the word professionalism that they employed yesterday was exactly that. It was just so well done. I think Nuno had a week to prepare and Arteta had 2 days to prepare for this game, and it just shows how well Arteta set all the players up. But I think also as a collective rather than the individuals, it was the way they were really getting on. Every time they lost the ball, there was 3, 4, sometimes even 5 surrounding the opposition to slow them down and get the ball back and to cause them problems. And it was just that organisation, knowing what their roles and responsibilities were, that made the difference. And I've not seen that, as the guys, all the three of you have said, not seen that under Arteta. This is the first time, I think, that he's wanted his plan to go the way he wanted it to go. Everyone was listening. Mustafi was outstanding. I mean, you know, even for that second goal that Mark talked about a little bit earlier, he's the one that started it with an awesome header. And you know, it's just things like that.
Started the first one as well, Neil.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, yeah. You know, it's just a collective that I saw that was amazing. And I'm going to give Martinez, I know we touched on Kalashnik, and I need to speak about, you know, you want me to talk about Tierney's role in that. But I think Martinez, for me, I would say that he was right up there as man of the match, because I'll tell you why. You've got Traore, who is like such a powerhouse, you know, and the speed that guy moves at is quite frightening. And it kind of links in with the Tierney thing. But Martinez, right at the off, at the very start of the game, he went straight going into him to stop that first attack. I don't know, it was really early.
Like 10 seconds in. And, you know, like 15 seconds in.
And that's
a great save.
And that suggests fearlessness. He's got no fear. What I see in Martinez is he knows his position on the line. He knows when to stay on the line, when to come off the line. He knows he can catch the ball. He makes great saves one-on-one. And even the other one, which Traore skied over, he made himself look so big. So he made it
massive,
difficult for him.
Yeah, massive.
I really believe, I know it's going to be a question later, but I really believe that, you know, he's going to have to fight for his place back. And we're in a very lucky position where we have now got two goalkeepers that I think are absolutely outstanding. And we've kind of been, I don't think we've had that for a long, well, from what
Neil,
I remember.
Just quick as well, just, out of every Arsenal goalkeeper in the history of the Premier League that's played 5 or more starts, Martinez has a 75% clean sheet ratio. He's the best. Every Arsenal goalkeeper that's played 5 or more games, he's the best statistically.
I mean, without doubt, he's the best second goalkeeper in the league at the moment.
He's got to be. I mean, you'd get into first this form, you'd get into most starting lineups, I think, or a lot of them anyway.
It's concerning because obviously you look at Fabianski in the end after he had that great run in that FA Cup season. He was like, "Look, I want to be first choice somewhere."
That's the only thing.
And Martinez might have the same ambition, but and you can't blame him on the.
But there's a difference, James. There's a difference, James, because Martinez has been with the club for 10 years. And he's already had a few look-ins.
That's
the difference to me. And I don't know. I think if anyone can do it, Arteta can do it. He'll manage them both and they'll both be happy. I'm sure he will. So anyway, sorry to digress, but I just wanted to mention him because I thought he was brilliant. You know, we were so worried when Leno got injured. We're thinking, oh no, the only one that's been consistent apart from maybe Saka, and we've lost him. And we're thinking, now it's going to be even worse. And actually, if anything, he's turned it around for us. You know, 3 clean sheets. You know, it's unbelievable. You know,
Leno will be eager to get back the way things are going. Like you said, it's exactly what we want. I mean, when that injury went, let's just go back a little bit, Mark. When that injury went down at Brighton, and we all know what happened after that in that game. I mean, I'm touching wood here, but I'd written off even, you know, taking a half an interest in the rest of the season, to be honest.
Me too.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, he was an awful start. He was probably effectively our best player for the last 12 months. And it looked like he was done for the season. And then after that, you know, a week or two after that, we hear, it's not such a long-term injury. And we see a goalkeeper that I think we all thought was handy, but I don't think we thought he was going to play to this level. Which is incredible, but let's get on. I'm giving Mark all the good stuff, but let's get on to the first goal, which you mentioned already. But we haven't had a chance for you to sort of talk about Saka. Obviously, last podcast we talked about Saka and the fact that he signed. What's your thoughts on this player? Because I haven't had a chance to talk to you for a few months about him. What's your thoughts on his first Premier League goal? Fantastic finish, and probably a player that's going to be absolutely vital for us in the coming years, isn't he, Mark?
Oh, totally. I think that signing is about as important as any we've made, you know, in recent years. The kid's just oozes class to me. I think he's, you know, the job that he's done around the pitch as well. I mean, that's what's amazing about it, really. He's played in so many positions, not murmured. And, you know, he's just been fantastic. And wherever he's played, he gives his heart and soul. I mean, even in as you pointed out, you know, Brighton was probably one of the darkest days for a while. That defeat, you know, he's always the shining light. You know, it's almost like he's led the team in some ways. You know, because the energy that he exudes and just everything that he does is right. And I haven't really heard him speak much, but he got interviewed after the game yesterday, and he's just a very, very impressive lad.
Amazing,
you know, he talks like a 28-year-old, not an 18-year-old. You know, he talks about how it's an honour to play for the club, and he doesn't care where he plays; he'll play anywhere. He just wants to play. Anything Arteta asks him to do, he'll do. He's thrilled at signing his contract. It's his club. He loves the club, and he wants to be here. And you know, he just came through the TV screen. You know, he's just the way he spoke. Just very, very impressive, you know, and throw him in wide on the right, you know, okay, he's playing his way into the game, then he comes onto the ball like that with his left foot, and bang, you know, what a finish, great finish, you know, it's not an easy finish, that ball coming from behind, he spins his leg around, controls the ball, and puts it in the bottom corner.
Strokes it in, doesn't he, Mark?
He didn't even swing it, Neil, did he? You know, it was like a, you know, I know we should mention his name these days, but it was like Mesut Ozil in lots of ways. He's able to just caress the ball rather than snatch at it, you know, and it goes miles over the bar. It was guided, you know, and I'll just a great finish, you know. He just impresses me more and more every time I see him. And you know, I think we touched on the podcast about positions and, you know, where he will play, but I think in this modern era, you know, you've got to be able to play in different positions. And I think someone like Arteta, you know, certainly working with Guardiola for that amount of time, you know, he thinks that as well. I think, you know, you have to have more than one position to your bow in this day and age. You know, if you're a young player coming through, you know, imagine being able to fit five positions. I mean, I'm not being for not many can do it. Don't get me wrong, but he can. You know, if he's not frightened to go and play wherever, and once you get that experience under your belt, I think not only does it give you more games, but also it gives you a much much broader aspect of the pitch. You know, you understand wherever, you know, how to play every position. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, by the time he's 20, he's probably going to have played in pretty much every position and understands the intricacies of doing that. So, you know, it's absolutely vital that him and then we've got some better news in Martinelli is signed, you know, for the future of this team. You know, it's vital that he signed. And, I mean, I was absolutely chuffed on her because there was a lot of rumour, wasn't there, guys, about, you know, he might not.
I had Liverpool fans telling me, oh no, you know, they're going to get him and all this sort of stuff. They were really excited. And I was like, I couldn't say anything. I was like, well, maybe we'll go to, I don't know. But it was absolutely huge. Sorry, carry on, Mark.
Just because, and we also understand that can happen. You know, players do walk out of our place. So, you know, I think if we'd have let him walk out, that would have dented my faith in everything. You know, even more than it has been. You know, these owners and you know, but they've been clear and concise. Signed the two brightest talents, I think, that we've got in the club. Absolutely. Signed them up to long term deals. They want to play for Arteta, you know, and I think in Arteta is building something that I think someone touched on it before we started. They're all behind Arteta. You know, you can see that's what he requires to have a team that's going to do anything. You have to be completely 100% behind the manager.
Correct.
Go out, you know, you've got to do blood, sweat and tears for him, you know, and I think he's building that. And anyone that don't want to get on board that ship, see you later.
Yes.
You know, absolutely see you later. If that's Guendouzi, with his attitude, right, if that's like whatever, just go, don't care. You're no good to me, no matter how good you think you are. Right. If you're not on with the program, see you later.
Shape up or fuck off.
That's simple. Yeah.
Totally. And that's what Guardiola's done. You know, all of these players are on board.
Yeah. So, exactly.
You know, this is what we're seeing changing, guys, and it's essential the attitude changes. So you know,
but that's what we had when Nelson Wenger first came on, wasn't it? They all wanted to see. They seemed to all want to play for him, even though the existing players, the old guard, were a little bit kind of said in interviews that they were a bit sort of raised eyebrows at, you know, the new training methods, all the diets they couldn't do what they were doing with the drinking and the bad diets and etc. But then they all realised that God, actually, this is the way forward if we want to be successful, and they're all on board.
Yeah.
So
just going back to that goal, I thought it was a great ball by Cedric, who I thought had a steady game, tidy game. Obviously first chance, but it was a great ball. But like, we'd seen a lot of aimless balls in that first 30 minutes that sometimes hadn't connected. We had a couple of chances. I think Eddie hit the post through like a half chance.
Xhaka did really well there to get that ball as well. He was brilliant.
That's right. But I thought it was a great ball by, I remember watching that ball and thinking, where's it? I was like, oh, that was a really good ball. You could see, we know Arteta's mentioned Cedric and his delivery and things like that, and we saw it there straight to Aubameyang's feet, and it started the whole move off, didn't it? But it was great to go, well, it was just before half time, I think. It was great to go 1-0 up in. And our hardest point, Neil, I want to get back to Mark's comments on Saka and link that to Niles, because Niles came out the day before this game with some really interesting comments, and then his performance I thought was quite interesting, his cameo performance in this game, so I want to get to that. But in a second, I think in every game in the last four, Neil, our most difficult point of the game has been after half time, like that 20 minutes before the drinks break that we now get is we always seem to be in two minds, especially if we're 1-0 up. We always seem to be sort of struggling to know, and I think that's probably where Wolves were maybe at their most dangerous. And I think that's sort of convinced Arteta to maybe make some changes as well, maybe a little bit earlier than he usually does. Why do you think that is? Why do you think we're struggling to sort of make that adjustment? Do you think it's just the fact that, you know, obviously away from home we haven't won very much, it's a confidence thing, or do you think sometimes would you like to see us dominate the ball a little bit more when we're 1-0 up and we're kind of in control of the game?
I certainly would like us to dominate the ball more, 100%. I think that's what we've been kind of stepping down the gears when we get ahead, haven't we? We've done it quite a lot. And then, was it six leads? We lost out of 13 lead times we've been in lead. We've lost six or seven of them. So I think it's a combination of confidence, not quite knowing how the players are going to react when they're in that position of having or holding a lead and then not being able to capitalise on it and then potentially draw or lose the game. And I think it's all about confidence and historical, what's happened in the past. So I think that's where the hesitation may come in. It's also down to, I mean, I guess it's down to personnel in the right positions, how they're going to react and stuff. But I think for me, it's more psychological. And now that we're starting to build something different, I still believe that we should go the way we were playing. For me, I just felt that we might as well press high. We might as well just go for it because nothing else seems to be working. So I do think that we should dominate, even if we've gone in the lead. I don't think we should step back. But then, you know, yesterday against a Wolves team that was so very well organized, they have been very organized. They're a good, strong unit. You know, I felt that we did play very professionally. We did kind of step back when they were attacking, but we controlled it. You know, the midfield and the defense were working as with very good shape and very good form, and they were keep holding their positions and controlling it very well. So maybe if now that Arteta's got that confidence in those two areas of the pitch, then maybe he can employ slightly different tactics at the drinks but breaks and things, and maybe bring on personnel which will suit that. I don't know, but I think it's been confidence, Jack. I mean, I don't know, you guys might think different, but I just think it's just been a shot of the way we've been playing, really.
It's the ethos. I mean, you sum it up perfectly there, Neil. Under Arteta, the turnover higher up the field is absolutely sensational. We utilise the flanks better than we ever have for years. And I mean, we attacked down the left-hand side, I think it was 45% of the game. Even with Tierney going off on 56 minutes, and this is where I'll say my apology, Maitland-Niles was sensational yesterday.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Can you just mention... mention his comments as well, James. Did you see the comments the
yes.
day before?
Yeah.
Just bring that, if you want to, bring that up, because that I found that really interesting. Like, I felt like he did it 180, but tell me.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with you. Like, all season long, I've questioned this guy's commitment, effort, and his work ethic, but he was absolutely brilliant yesterday when he came on. And he showed Adama Traore up big time. He went, I ain't going to let you get on your right foot. I'm going to show you onto your left, and then you do something with your left. But you can't because you're one-footed and you're one-dimensional. You're quick and you're strong and you've got a right foot. That's it. But I ain't letting that happen. He bullied the bully.
Yeah.
You look at the size differential and you think, that ain't ever going to happen. Well, look at it. Completely outclassed him yesterday. And I'll tell you what, if he applies himself and goes, right, okay, maybe a sub-fullback is my position. Maybe I ain't going to be a centre midfielder. Maybe I ain't going to play CDM or whatever that he wants to. I've got to play here. Then work hard. Because like you said the other day, that's his position. This is where
I think he's the most talented out of the three on the right that we've got, to be honest. Like, in terms of actual sort of athleticism and ability. Like, we've all talked about our concerns with Bellerin's athleticism.
Delivery-wise, no, but ability.
Delivery, but you know what I mean? In terms of, like, the sort of modern-day fullback.
Oh, yeah, getting up and down and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why
I get so frustrated with him. Mm. And a lot of people will say...
The other thing with Niles, it could be because we've been so poor for so long under Emery, and then Arteta's struggled, you know, initially had a lot of work to do. It could be that he was thinking, well, I can play better than these players in the midfield, you know, why shouldn't I be there? And that can have an effect on you as well in a mental way. And now that everyone's starting to click into gear and playing well, he's probably thinking, right, now I've got to raise my game. Look, otherwise people like Nketiah, people like Saka, people like Willock, you know, they're going to get so ahead of me and I'll be the one that's left behind. I think maybe that was another kind of, maybe a kick up the proverbial backside, and he's kind of thought, I'm going to go on there and do a job yesterday. So that could be that as well.
I said, he was absolutely sensational. Just quick again, just if we can touch on the first goal, because obviously you're talking about the finish, but which is incredible. But if you watch it out again, you know, Mustafi, he plays that initial ball to Cedric and he plays that out calmly. And I mean, we spoke, I think it was two podcasts ago or the podcast just before, about how Luiz and Mustafi always seem to rush because they don't trust what's in front of him. He just played a nice little calm ball. Cedric whipped it, which was sensational. I mean, Jack, you all said, oh, that's all Cedric, that goal. That's all. And it was sensational. But then it gets to Aubameyang.
That was a great touch.
With Aubameyang, this is where I come back to Arteta and the Arteta system and that Guardiola scholarship. He could have easily put his head down and drove on then. Because he could have had them two centre-backs himself. He would have outpaced them easy. But he went, no, he looked up, saw that his teammate was in a better position. And like Guardiola always says, don't be selfish. If you see your teammate in a better place, you pass. Pass the ball. whipped it in. And I mean, yeah, you come back to the Ealing Messi, old Saka, but I mean, what? He was 8 months and 10 days old when Zinedine Zidane hit that volley versus Bayer Leverkusen. So clearly when he was on his formula and his Heinz first steps, he was watching, weren't he? Because, I mean, and then he becomes the youngest English player to score away for Arsenal since Stuart Robson at Everton in 1983. I couldn't be happier for that because I can't stand Stuart Robson. I think, what an arsehole that guy
is. He's a scumbag.
So, yeah, so for him to
massive,
break that as well.
Massive scumbag.
But, no, it's all application, mate. I mean, Willock comes on 75 minutes and he creates a chance for Lacazette that we score, and he creates a chance for himself that gets cleared off the line, which was the most out of any player in the whole game. He makes two chances coming on 75 minutes. Mm. It's just down to self-confidence and belief. And do you know what? I think Arteta is such a good man manager as well as a tactician, which, you know, this is what Klopp gets his plaudits for, is how great he is tactically, but how good of a man manager he is. And I think Arteta's the same. Arteta, in terms of man management, he's got it absolutely spot on with him. Because, yeah, you know,
maybe he's not seeing that enough.
And you've got to think, like, you got Mesut Furlough and you've got Guendouzi with his attitude, you know.
I saw that on Twitter. I don't know. They can't. He's above the cap. He's got to be above the cap.
It's hilarious.
You know, if he's got such a bad back, maybe get out of that gaming chair and get in a chair that fits better for, you know.
Yeah, a bit more supportive. Yeah. But just getting back onto Arteta's game management, I think, Mark, when we were on a few months back, I'm sure we talked about a lot of positives with Arteta, but the one thing we did every now and then mention was his sort of hesitation at times with substitutions and sometimes making the wrong one and sort of adjusting to that. He got these substitutions spot on. And talking about sort of man management, I don't think there's a better sort of hint at that from, you know, how he turned Xhaka around. For starters,
and then the
Niles comments. I mean, those comments from Niles, maybe I'm reading into them too much, but this is a guy that I almost swear was bailing on the right back position. I have the quotes. I know he was.
Yeah.
We all remember the Villa game where he limped off and wasn't injured really, but limped off and got sent off. And that is amazing to say. You know, you come out and say, I will just play anywhere. He's realised this is something he wants to be part of. He's probably also realised, Mark, that he probably won't play at a higher level than Arsenal Football Club, I think.
Quite right.
But that's all Arteta, isn't it, Mark?
It is totally, Jack. You know, I think the testament to Arteta's, what he's done so far is exactly that. We're talking about players that had one foot out the door, you know, possibly even two with Xhaka almost. And not only are they back playing, Mustafi included. I mean, we gave up on him how many times?
Ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he spun him around. And you know, I think basically, you know, this is what's needed to happen for so many years, right? Even, you know, at the end of ours and last three or four years of ours, and even, you know, Emery as well, there's been a line drawn in the sand. You know, there's been some discipline put into the squad. Right, there's rules been laid down. He's told him exactly what he expects, and if you drop below that, or you don't get on board with it, right? You're out. You're either in or you're out. There's none of this skulking around. There's none of this, you know, do your own thing stuff anymore. It's changed, right? And he's still got some work to do on it, but you can just tell by that yesterday. It was the most together performance that I've seen for a long time.
Mm.
Forget the manager, right? Forget who's in charge. When you just look at those players yesterday, it looked like a team that were together. It looked like a team that were committed, and the players that came on just slotted straight into that attitude. You know, it's the attitude that we've had the big problem with on this podcast for years.
Yep.
We've constantly said it year after year after year. When are we going to have somebody that puts a line in the sand off the pitch? And also on the pitch, right? I still think we need that, and I think we've got him, you know, sitting at left back. Personally, that's my personal opinion. I think he's got captain written all over him, Tierney.
Yeah,
you know, I just think he's got everything you need to be the captain of this club.
No nonsense.
In my eyes,
he just he's all football.
No nonsense.
He doesn't care about anything but his football.
Correct.
Absolutely not. He can play. He's fierce. He's got a vicious tackle on him, right? He gets stuck into anything. He's won things, right? you can say it's Scotland. Nevertheless, he's won things.
Yeah, he's
right?
been there,
he understands
done it.
How to win titles. He understands how what it feels like, right? And he's got pace, he's got power, and he's got attitude. And I think, you know, and he controls himself as well. You know, he goes hard into tackles, but he controls himself. He don't ever get done for, you know, mouthing off. Or I think he's got all the attributes to be the captain.
Yeah.
And that's what, and that's, I think, the next step. You know, but Arteta has done a fantastic job with those players. You know, he's done brilliant. And Maitland-Niles did have one foot out the door, and he's had the light bulb moment, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Because he's probably seen, Jack, that all the rest of them are getting on board with it.
Exactly.
You know, and what a good attitude does for you. Guess what it gets you? It gets you a new contract, mate.
Yeah.
It gets you a new contract on more money.
Yeah.
And you've got an 18-year-old. At that Harold's Martinelli, 20, right?
Yeah, 19, 20.
You've got two young kids there that have just got themselves big contracts because of what? Because they've come in, took their chance, and knuckled themselves down.
Correct.
And not just in matches, but are obviously training correctly.
Yeah.
They're obviously showing the right attitude, and that's what he demands, Arteta. That's the difference that we haven't had in place. So huge credit to Arteta. He hasn't. Listen, it's an early thing. We all said really podcasts ago that it will take a long time to change the mentality, but that's the thing that'll have to change, and he's getting there. He's definitely getting there.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm you know, and this is not getting carried away with anything yesterday. This is, I've thought this since the day he came in. This is the man that we need to get the right mentality going inside the dressing room, because he's seen how it's done at City, and he's seen what it takes to win a title. And that's what Pep Guardiola does. They're all tuned in and they're all on board, right? And that's essential for any success.
Yeah.
So, you know, credit to him, mate. Credit to him. Work in progress, but he's getting there in my eyes.
Yeah, on that left side, it's really interesting because he could have. I mean, Tierney, we could all see Tierney was tiring, even though I felt Tierney had some
collapse
game.
In that chart.
But he could have easily, Neil, just brought on Holding and put Kalash that left wing back. I mean, that would have been, in your head, that probably would have been the obvious thing to do. But it was really intelligent for him to go, need completely fresh legs down the wing here. I need to push Traore 10 metres back. And it just changed the whole, I think we started to dominate the game again. Once that change happened, really, I felt like I know they had the chance to Traore later on, but we really did. And I thought that was really interesting is the in-game management now. So
it was, especially after, you know, we were questioning it when it was Brighton and Sheffield United, weren't we? We were like, oh, he's taking too long here. But no, he got 56 minutes and he went, no, I'm swapping that.
Jack,
I do think that, you know, he was, don't forget, Arteta's still finding out Ozu. That's why I think in terms of his earlier substitutions when we were questioning, I think he was feeling his feet as well about who he can rely on and who he can't.
Yeah, of course.
And I think that picture becomes clearer by the week for him, you know?
He's
getting to a point where he knows what he's doing. He's much more concise now because I think he understands who he can trust. So
The fullback positions are so, I'm so interested, especially on the right side, obviously. I know Niall's played on the left, but it's so interesting. I can't really, I don't know if we're going to get to the stage where we don't know who his number one is there. You know, I know it's just one game for Bellerin, but we've all had our concerns with Bellerin. I'm sure you have as well, Mark, with his return.
Totally.
And we understand it's an injury process, but I personally don't think that's all we've seen, and we've mentioned that. And I just wonder with Niles, and Arteta also spoke about Niles in the pandemic, like during the build up to the restart, positively, and how his character, you know, he's seen a lot from his character in the last few months and in terms of training. So I just wonder in terms of, you know, ability and athleticism. And obviously we've signed Cedric to 4 years. He's not going anywhere. So, you know, I just wonder if we've heard the last of it. I hope it's not too late for Niles. You know, in a way, I think a lot of us might have felt he was probably out the window. So this next month will be really interesting to see how much game time he gets and if he continues to play performances like that. I mean, even with that 30-minute cameo, I think he's putting himself in the, you know, he's got to put himself in Arteta's mind for a start against Leicester, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, you know, in terms of keeping the team fresh and you know, reliability and all that sort of stuff, I think it's, and maybe even, you know, I hate to say it, but maybe even giving Tierney a break if he needs a break. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to, but we all know, you know, he's played a lot of games since he's come back. So,
absolutely.
Who did we say Pepe looks more comfortable with? Wasn't it Niles a couple of games ago?
Yeah.
So there's a good chance against Leicester. If Pepe come, well, I'm sure he will come back. He might do that, Jack. He might actually give Niles a start with Pepe. Yeah. It's a chance.
Yeah, could do. I just want to get along with a few players, Neil. How did you think? I think it's really hard to name a man in the match. I think Mustafi might well edge it.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, obviously he helped with both of the goals, and I think a large part of Mustafi edging it is because we know what we've seen before Mustafi as well. But so it's just a drastic improvement. But I thought in the middle, I thought Xhaka did well, but I thought Ceballos was really good as well. It was a different type of performance. It wasn't a controlling performance like Norwich, where he was dominating and dictating the play, but he battles better than probably any midfielder we've got currently. I mean, obviously we haven't seen Torreira for a while, so I'll hold off on that one. But he's got some. He's been at his best post pandemic, hasn't he, Neil? We'll say that much.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we spoke about how he was dominant against Norwich, especially in the first half. And you're right; it wasn't the beautiful finesse playmaking through balls and stuff. But it was more of a, you know, getting in there one-on-one battling performance, you know, and it showed a different side to his game, another positive side to his game. The only worry for me and concern is he doing it because he wants to show his club that, you know, his proper club is what he can do, and he wants to get into the first 11, or is it actually, this is genuine and he wants to play for Arsenal? I mean, people reactions that you've seen of him, he's like going mental when we do well, when we score, when we win. So passionate wise, and he was tapping the badge the other time when he scored. So it's a bit of a mixed message. I don't know, actually, and I don't know what the reason is. Maybe he's always had it in him, and this is the thing: they're all starting to come together at the right time because now they're understanding what Arteta wants from them, and they all know what their roles are in the team, and that could be the important thing. It could be the clear message that Arteta is sending them: this is what I want you to do, and I want you to do this and that, etc., etc. And I think that's what's happening, and it's infectious, and every single player, bar maybe one or two, is you know, taking stock of that, and I think that's what it is. I still believe it's more of a, you know, I do. I know we give a few players a hard time, but you can't be a bad player to play for Arsenal Football Club. You can't be a bad player to play for any top, you know, team. So it's not about not having the skill or the talent. I think half the battle is for these players when they get to this level is the mental stuff and whether they're happy or not. And I think what Arteta is doing is mentoring them all psychologically to make sure they understand what's expected of them, and to also enjoy it. And that could be the big thing. Enjoy your football, but also do your job. And maybe that's where Ceballos is starting to show his true colours. I don't know. It's hard to judge, but whatever I'm seeing, it's fantastic. And he, for the moment, is the best partner for Xhaka, because he's making, I think Xhaka and himself, both of them are working very well together in that midfield. And because they're working well together, the defence is working well together, and vice versa. And I agree. I think I think Xhaka, I mean, so many could have been man of the match. I mean, I just talked about Martinez a little earlier. I think it was that good a team performance, as Mark said. Any of them could have potentially been up for that man of the match award. But I hope, I don't know. How do you guys feel? Do you hope that he stays for another year in terms of, do you think we go for your loan?
I'd take him on another year loan.
Yeah, sure. I said, I feel that get him on another year, and then if he does well, maybe buy him permanently. But if not, take him for another year and get Willock up to the level.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, you say man of the match yesterday. If I can just quick, for me, it's Mustafi all day, every day. He was involved in the build up for both the goals. He won three of his aerials. The only one he lost was the initial one at the beginning to Jimenez when he knocked it onto Traore. He had 85% passing, but I watched on Sky yesterday without the fan noise. I won't go into how much I hate the fan noise when the fans aren't there.
Verbals.
But yeah, exactly. He was marshalling and commanding both Kolasinac and Louise perfectly yesterday. He's going like, whoa, you there. He was screaming at them at times. And I'll tell you what as well, over the recent weeks, and this is testament to, this is Mustafi, by the way. So just, you know, remember, after everything that's been said about him, in recent weeks, the number three striker was Danny Ings, clean sheet. Number six, Jimenez, clean sheet.
Wow.
On Tuesday, we got the number one in Jamie Vardy. If he can get three from three out of them, and then you got Kane on the weekend, if he can go four for four.
Oh, Jesus.
Whoa. Player of the season. Player of the season.
Is he the German Maldini? I don't know.
What's his contract left? I mean, I'm not going beyond it, but I definitely don't think we're talking about centre back sales, Mark, and things like that in one of the last podcasts, and we didn't really put Mustafi in the conversation because he plays too much. He's obviously got a lot of fun. He's definitely going to be one of the four or five next season. I mean, we'll say that much, right, isn't he? And I actually thought about it yesterday, and I think his contract expires in a year, right? I wouldn't put it past us to put him down and maybe get a short extension on it, which is incredible.
Do you think so?
I don't think we should necessarily.
No, not do I.
I think we should probably just let it run out. But if we're following the 2-year rule, we're at that point where something would have had to happen and we'd consider selling him. But I think maybe that's a player we just probably look to see out contracts and let go for free because he's on a pretty hefty wage, 90-ish, 95 grand. Yeah. But it's incredible. I mean, I thought Luis as well. I know James is talking about Mustafi, but I remember in the second half where we were kind of all over the place for one stage in the game and Luis just stood up and I think it was Jota who'd just come on and he just stood up and just made a really, really key block. I don't know where that was going. It looked like it was going to the corner. So I thought as a pair, they were obviously it's a back three, but as a pair, I thought they did really well. And it's incredible to think, I mean, even just a few games ago, we were really worried about Luis and talking about whether he should sign a new contract and having concerns about it. And he just, I was quite amazed that he just fell back into the team so quickly. I thought that was amazing, didn't you? Mark, what's your thoughts on sort of the centre-backs and getting more out of them than we ever thought we could?
Yeah, I mean, the Luis thing, I think, you know, is more to that. I think than meets the eye. I don't think it's just about David Luiz, the scatterbrain. I think, you know, I think he's a big influence in the club in terms of a senior player. Well, he's certainly the most successful player that we've got, that's won the most, you know, wherever he's gone, he's won things. You know, he can certainly play the game, that's for sure. But he has obviously got those, you know, those errors in him. But you'll note since Brighton, when David Luiz concentrates and plays in his position, he's excellent. I mean, he was excellent yesterday. He was disciplined. You know, he was totally disciplned.
Yeah, he got that yellow card early, didn't he? And then he done really well.
Yeah, he got the yellow card early. Yeah, I agree. He was not diving in. He was not, you know, he wasn't trying stupid passes. He played his position, you know, and that's exactly. And if when he does that, he's far, far more accomplished than people say. You know, there is no doubt. You can't survive that long and win what he won, you know. Being a complete and utter clown, right? Yes, he has got rickets in him. Yeah, he has a fine. Yeah, and he played next to John Terry. I know all that, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is the guy can play football and he's played at a high level for a number of years. So, number one, I think Arteta sees him as a leader on the pitch and a senior figure. I noted that Saka mentioned him in his interview after signing his contract, said that he's a big influence for him and he looks up to him and blah, blah, you know. So that, you know, that you then start to piece together why they give him another year and also you had to take a drop in money, which he did. So I think Luis is a starter for Arteta. I completely do.
He's so much better in that back three as well. I know we've mentioned
He's better in a back three.
Protects him just a little bit more, doesn't it? It seems like he feels a bit
absolutely
more comfortable.
So, totally. And I think, you know, so I think he's a big influence. As for the rest, you know, I think it's a very, very sort of open door, really. I think the positions are up for grabs. You know, Mustafi, you know, I'm never going to be convinced by Mustafi. Yeah, he's had a couple of good games. I understand that, but I'm just not convinced. So I don't think I wouldn't personally extend.
No, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't personally. Holding, I think, you know, as we all know, he's got potential and he's playing really well when he had that injury. So the door's open for him. Obviously, we've got Saliba, aren't we, coming? So, you know. Where does he fit in? Is he going to be a starter or is he going to come in and feel his way? There's Socrates, you know, who seems to be a bit out of favour at the moment.
Mari. But again,
another one who's had an injury. Mari, who's out long-term, you know, so he's, you know, he's got, I think
Chambers and Mavrapanoff
still.
Chambers.
So many.
We've got lots and lots of options. So I do think, you know, but if you had to, Kolasinac, please, Neil, don't.
Kolasinac.
You know, you notice I didn't mention him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah, so yeah,
exactly.
But, you know, out of that lot, you know, who are the three? Say, let's say we stick with the way we're playing because we will for the foreseeable. Who is the solid three there? I have no idea.
Yeah,
I have no idea. So do I trust any of them 100%? Not really.
No.
So you know, you know. So
even in the positive pod markers, that little rat. This is
yeah. Well, I don't want to be too big.
No, no, no. Do you know what?
Them players, you know, strike me as like top class.
No. You can't get carried away with them three.
No, you can't.
You can't.
Makes all these performances all the more impressive in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because we're all feeling that. We're all feeling that. And to sit there calmly for a 90-minute game is to say something. To not be sweaty palms like from the first minute with them. So it's just, you're right. But I agree with you. Long term, I mean, you can't. You know, there's gonna have to be changes. Hopefully, Saliba is that sort of top level change.
That's
one of them we're looking for. Mm. And maybe we do buy one more, but I think we spoke on previous pods that we clearly, from the names that you just mentioned, we've got to get rid of two or three before we consider sort of getting one more in. But obviously, if it is one more, it's got to be a one more of top quality. It can't be another sort of squad
member.
And
this is it.
That will be.
You'd like to have one you hang your hat on, wouldn't you? You know, you'd like to have one you hang your hat on.
Yeah, exactly. Then we don't yet. I agree with
this summer. We will buy a top tier one out of everybody. We're gonna buy a top tier centre half this summer. We have to.
We're gonna go big this summer. I'm convinced of that. Do you know what? All the mutterings are exactly the same. I know it's the pandemic, but all the mutterings are exactly the same as last summer. We got no money. We got nothing. Got not a penny. And then we just went mental. I know we recouped, but I think we'll recoup again. I think we'll see us. You know, whether it's Guendouzi, whether it's Kalashnik, we'll recoup decently again.
We're spending $60 million plus on a centre half this summer, guarantee it.
Yeah, I think we'll go big. I think if we get rid of the people that I think we're going to get rid of, I think we'll go big in two positions. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because you've got to look here and think of what's the goal. If the goal is truly Champions League, well, okay, look at the teams that are in third and fourth and how much they're spending. Look at Chelsea. Mm. Look at United. I mean, they're spending, even if we spend big, they'll still be spending double. So, you know, I think they'll have to back Arteta. I think they'll have to. His comments about Aubameyang are huge, I think, because he came out and said, you can't sell your best player and expect to progress. And I think that's a comment directed massively at the board. I mean, that's just saying to the board.
He's gone loads of his conferences lately, which I appreciate. Like I said earlier, the communication from top to bottom at this club has been awful. And it's, like I said, it's his job to change it. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I would call them out because they do. They need a kick up the arse. And I mean, after Mislintat and all that went, last summer was the first summer that they really had the full control. And January, you know, it was loans, weren't it? But now they've turned these loans into permanent deals. And it's again in the summer, I'm like, now you need a second summer where, okay, I think last year we said we were all relatively happy with that, with what we got in the summer.
Yeah, we were.
And I mean, if we can have another big one and get what we need again and then just go again, then you can't really moan.
Yeah, absolutely. Just getting back onto the game, James. I want your feelings on Eddie Nketiah and Lacazette in this game. We've spoken in the last few games about how if Lacazette started, he looked heavy-legged. He looked like he couldn't get the ball out of his feet. He's on a terrible run of form. And obviously, Eddie looked like he provided more energy. And I felt Eddie did provide the energy yesterday while not really sort of being involved too much. But I really do have to say, James, and I don't know if you agree, I felt Lacazette was, even without the goal, I felt he was really positive when he came on.
He held
the ball up well.
Yeah, he was.
He looked fresh. He looked like a Lacazette we haven't seen for a long time, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, the goal for him was absolutely massive. If there was anyone that needed it, you know, what was it, 18 hours and 43 minutes without a goal away? It's like equates to like 16 games away without a goal, I think. I mean, yeah, and when you watch it back, his give and go with Willock is superb. But then when he gets it, his touch past Cody,
it's brilliant.
It's sublime. Oh, it's sublime. Like people go on about how good the finish is, but I'm like, the initial touch. Watch the touch. The touch is class, and that is, you know, what you'd say about a £50 million+ striker. That is a classy striker's goal. And no, I think his hold-up play and everything was great. And it just gives more, you know, pleasant selection dilemmas. You know, beforehand, when we had selection dilemmas, it was because, oh, God, do we have to play this guy again? Like, haven't we got nobody else? But now it's like, well, who do I swap around and change? And it wouldn't surprise me if he did take Nketiah out for Leicester and put lack of set up top after he got that goal. It all depends. But no, he was really, really good. And it's all confidence, isn't it? I mean, if that brings him back, that would do him a world of good. You know, I mean, when we played Sheffield United, when he got tackled, I think if he didn't hobble off, he was probably going to take the penalty. And maybe get his goal there. But no, I thought he was brilliant. Yeah, I thought he was brilliant when he came on yesterday. And again, adding to what you were saying, Mark, about David Luiz, who's the first player to put his arm around him, give him a kiss on the head and go, come on. It was David Luiz yesterday.
Yeah, did you see his comments on Instagram? Luiz posted a picture of Lacazette and him hugging. And Lacazette went, as two Brazilians in one picture right there, which I thought was quite funny. You're right, that first touch was little instep right up his feet. He didn't think, did he? It was all instinct. No. And that's what we want from Lacazette. He just seems to overthink. And, you know, we saw him in the last game, I think, against Norwich, where the ball came over his head and you know, the old Lacazette just hits out on the volley, but he tries to cut it back to no one there, and he just hesitating, and been a lot of rumours about his future as well, and who knows what on form Lacazette could do for us in the next 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, that goal could be massive for us. I mean, I think it could be massive for us, because he's been waiting for so long for something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he always used to play well against the big teams as well, didn't he?
He had a big team, that one against Liverpool, and I think he
scored against Spurs, didn't he, and everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, against the big teams, Lacazette, he's the kind of guy that you want in the big games. But yeah, hopefully, like Neil was saying earlier, the old proverbial kick up the arse, if this is what can get him up there and get him going, then yeah, by all means, let's have it.
Yeah, just a little interesting, when hopefully no injury. I saw Cedric come off with a little knock. I think he was coming off anyway, but he took a knock and he wasn't moving very well just before that, so I certainly don't want another injury there. But fantastic goal, fantastic win, fantastic 3 points. Just want to do some questions and get your predictions on Leicester. Neil, if you've got anything else to say on the Wolves game, feel free to. I might have missed something. But questions. What question did I say I would let you have, Neil? I can't even remember. Here we go. Let's do the... someone's car. Who did we lose?
We lost Mark.
We lost Mark. Did Mark hear that I was giving out questions and then go piss off?
Yeah, I think.
I'm done with you. I'll tell it to
question me, Andy! No.
I didn't answer your first two questions. I gave you a no for nothing to say about Kolasinac, and then when you talk about Tierney,
I shouldn't give you any questions.
I'm sorry, mate, but you're going to have to answer all the questions now, because we're
No, I'm not answering that one that you're going to get. There's no way I'm answering that.
It's hilarious. We'll see if we can get Mark. Oh, we go. Yeah. All right. Mr. DJ at Expat Guna, thank you, mate. Always mentions the podcast and gives good comments on it. If Martinez keeps up this play, does Leno replace him upon return when he's healthy? Do the panelists think Martinez keeps the goalkeeper spot? I questioned this on Twitter and got a bit of, not abuse, but a lot sort of like, come on, be real, it's only been 4 or 5 games. And I agree with that. But Neil, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, you mentioned it at the start of the podcast, but go on.
Yeah, no, I did. I think I have to kind of mention it. I think it's great competition. I think there will be a little bit of anxiety from Leno, because if he's watching the games and he's seeing his number two effectively doing so well, I think the good thing is I've heard that they both get on very well. It's not like, who were the two that hated each other? Was it what was his name? Wasn't it Jens and... It was the guy that was in there. Almunia.
They couldn't stand.
I don't think it's like that. I think they're actually work together, they train together, they support each other. So I think that's again another plus for us.
Wasn't it Chesney and someone else, because Chesney hated their goalkeeper coach, didn't he?
Yes.
And then the other one brought in his own or something.
Who was it that
Chesney didn't get on with?
Oh, God.
What player? What goalkeeper coach?
Yeah, it was the goalkeeper. Yeah, no, no, it was, like it, him it, and it another goalie didn't get on with each other, did they? Because I remember Chesney was training with his own one, and the others were training
like
with
that.
Was it Peyton or whatever his name was? They were training. Two of them were training with Peyton, and Chesney went, "Yeah, he can fuck off. I'll bring me own in. I ain't having anymore."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just very quickly. Now, I don't want to take too much time. I think. it's a good headache for Arteta as far as the goalkeeper's concerned. I mean, I think, again, it is too early to say, and even from a broader perspective, we shouldn't get too carried away with ourselves. I think Arteta's got the right idea. We should take one game at a time. We don't want to get too carried away, because if the worst case happens against Leicester, we're all going to be thinking, oh, here we go again. But we shouldn't be like that. There are small baby steps along the way, and I think that's the way the selection should be for the goalkeeper. He's doing ever so well. I think it would be really unfair if Leno just comes back and takes his place. That wouldn't be quite right. If Martinez keeps up his form game by game, every single time, gets better. I think personally he's getting better each game. And if he continues this upward form, and then all of a sudden, oh, because Leno's fit, he comes back and takes it, I think that would be a little bit unfair. I think I'd like to see maybe, you know, Martinez, if he's worked hard to maintain that position, not to just give it up on when Leno's available to come back. But I think if anyone's going to be able to manage it correctly, it will be Arteta.
Yeah, see, I worry about that as well, because I remember in the 2001-2002 double, Richard Wright was sensational during the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And then he dropped him for Seaman in the final, didn't he? And Richard Wright never recovered from that.
No, he didn't want to play for Arsenal anymore. Yeah, that's why he left.
Yeah, yeah, and I just worry that, like you said, Neil, if Leno is back, he'll go, well, no, he's my first choice. I might, no, pick it on merit, I don't think so.
I think Arteta will be able to manage it. I really do. I've got that faith in him.
Of course he will. Of course he will.
And he'll keep them both happy. Honestly, I really do believe that.
It'll be interesting. But a couple of things that I noticed from Martinez yesterday was, I mean, he really likes to hold the ball, doesn't he? He doesn't really want to parry it at all. Like, a couple of times he went for crosses that were, I thought he was just going to sort of, you know, flick away and flick out.
He
grabs them. So Mark's having an issue connecting. It might be my issue, but I've got his predictions. That's pretty much all I needed from him, other than answering one question. So I'll answer his question. Mikey, I'll answer it now. That one's for James. Here we go. Michael Lewis said, I'm all over the place. Michael Lewis on my Twitter feed asked whether he's trying to liken Saka to Ox and saying, are you concerned about Saka being played in so many different positions, a bit like Ox was, and never nailing down a position? That's kind of what his concern was. I don't have that concern. What about you?
No, neither do I. They're completely different players.
Yeah.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, okay. There might be a big question of what if he could have been at Arsenal, but you know, for me, he had terrible problems with injuries. I think that maybe centre mid was the route for him to go down, especially after that AC Milan game. But you know, it was one of those where you look at it. We talked about in the last podcast that we got what 40 million for Iwobi, which was a sensational sale. And again, if you look at it, what Oxlade-Chamberlain netted us 35 million at the time. He was a guy that was always injured for us and everything else. And okay, he's gone to Liverpool, and you know, let's end it there, because I don't want to turn it into a Liverpool loving session. But you know, he's done all right for himself, isn't he? He gets to have sex with the second best one out of Little Mix, so his life ain't that bad, is it?
Sits on the bench for Liverpool most of the games, but I think he's getting his appearances up so he can get a medal. So that's
cool. Well, there you go. You know, I think there's worse people in the world than what he's got. So that's all I say on the
that. That was one of our good sales, to be honest, James. I mean, him and Iwobi, you were a couple
amazing.
To get nearly 80 million sales for both of them is
Liverpool fans won't admit it, but that's a ridiculous price to pay for someone like that, I think. At that time, you know, I think that was a very good deal by us. But I agree with you. I mean, we all said, I think, on the last podcast, we kind of expect him to probably settle on the left side. That may change if Aubameyang goes ahead and signs this three-year contract. But, you know, which is an interesting theory, though, James, isn't it? I mean, we've heard about Aubameyang. Let's just touch on that real quick with that question. You know, if Aubameyang does sign, do you see a long-term plan for Aubameyang to be moved from the left side? Because I think it's unlikely, considering he's never played centrally under Arteta at this point.
No, I think he's got that position there because obviously, you know, when he plays back to goal, when he is down the middle, he's not very effective. He seems much better. Yeah. And, you know, I put the percentages and everything up on Twitter when your brother and me were debating it a couple of weeks ago. But he is got better numbers from that left-hand side. So
yeah,
I think he'll keep it if he does sign it, which I actually think he will. I know a couple of weeks back I was like, no, he's definitely gone and everything now. But I think he might sign it now because
I think we've heard the rumors in the last few days of what it is.
I think Ozil and Gwen are going to go. So I think,
we'll get rid of Ozil, do you? Ornstein came out yesterday and said it's very unlikely.
No, I know. I think that someone somewhere will go, look, we'll pay 175 of it or whatever, and you pay the other. I think it'll just be a loan to begin with. But yeah, no, I definitely think he's out, and I think Guendouzi might be as well now, which is a bit of a shame for me, because I look at the negatives of Guendouzi, and it's like, no, if you can fester that and coach that into a better, you know, attitude and what have you, he could be a player to shine. But no, I look at it now and I'm like, there's nothing there that indicates that he's got an injury. It's purely that obviously that incident after the Brighton game and everything else has pissed off Arteta. And, Arteta,
he's not changed his attitude.
Yeah, Arteta already had questions with him from the beginning anyway. If you look about when they were on that pre-season tour, they said, didn't they, there was that story from Ornstein about they went for a meal somewhere with quite respectable people, and then they brought out, you know, like belly dancers and other, you know, dancers, and he kept taking his shirt off and swinging it round, standing on the tables, didn't he? And they were like, no, it's not that sort of, not that sort of thing, mate. But it's unfortunate, but you know, like you said, he's one of the more sellable assets that we have. Sellable's a word, isn't it? I haven't.
I thought it was really interesting because I don't see us. Yeah, we'll say it is sellable. There you go.
Sellable.
I thought it was really interesting because obviously, there's been a lot of rumours about us needing to fund a sort of central midfielder to come in. You know, well, I'll name no names. We'll know who it is. And knowing that we'll need to sell one, I thought it was really interesting seeing Torreira's cameo yesterday, and especially after the game. One of the first players Arteta I saw anyway go over to was Torreira, and they were having a real in-depth conversation, arms around each other. And I was like, this is a player that I'm not sure what Arteta truly thinks of Lucas Torreira, because he's not played a ton, under obviously with injury as well. But he might be a player that he starts to look to a little bit more now that Guendouzi may be out of the picture fully. And I think what we can read into this with the way we're seeing Arteta treat other players is a lot of this is entirely on Guendouzi. I mean, I think that's fair to say at this point. Whatever's gone on behind the scenes, you know, Arteta's kind of hinted at nothing changing. That's why he's not in the squad still. And there's very little time for him now, James, isn't there? There's very little time for Guendouzi to really make a change. I mean, if he doesn't sort of get his look in the next 3 or 4 weeks, I think there's no way back for him, is there? Like you said, it's a shame in the sense that he's a young player and we don't really know his full potential. But if we need to raise funds, I said for a while that that's one of the areas that we're going to have to look to, because he's probably going to generate the most money.
If we look at the rumours, and you know, there is that big glaring Barcelona one. Again, if they're offering 35 to 40 million for him, how can you say no?
You can't say no to that. No. Which is I can't believe he's a team like that. But
for no matter how much I like him and he's a big heir and everything else, you know, 40 million quid's 40 million quid.
Yeah, exactly. And the Aubameyang one is interesting because they're saying, you know, what he's asking for is a 3-year contract and 250 grand a week. And I think we'd all look at that and say that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, so would I.
I'm not convinced that's all he's asking for. I get the feeling he may want to. I mean, he's won one cup in his career. I think he probably wants to win things. So I get the feeling, I said this on Twitter yesterday, that the FA Cup semi-final may be huge, you know, in terms of where that might be really big for someone like, it might be even bigger than us getting back into Europe.
It's a big one, like with Van Persie. I think Van Persie was, what, 29? I think Aubameyang's 30,
that's
31.
Why I'm not convinced.
It's so similar in terms of, okay, is this a guy that's going to get on board with it, or is he going to go and look at it and go, look, I got a limited window and I want to win, and then he'll jump off the ship. It's so difficult, but no, I really think out of all of them that have happened, I think Aubameyang might stay now.
Well,
because I don't think wage demand. I thought he was going to ask for way more, but I think 250 grand a week for his outlet, especially when you consider the money that this club does throw.
I've got a stat. He's at the top of the list since joining the Prem. Players joining the Prem who's gained the most points from match winners. He's at the top of the list.
There you go.
And that's how important he is in that respect.
Yeah.
He's very much that clutch player, isn't he? when you
It's very interesting for me to think of how it balances the team with obviously left-sided players like Saka and even maybe Martinelli. I've been back and forth about it, but if that's truly what he wants, I mean, you can't deny that he deserves that. Just what we need to do to afford that, and whether that's truly all that he's asking for, we don't know. But time will tell, I think. If that's truly all he wants, I expect that to be sorted out relatively quickly, to be honest. But But if there isn't, then it's going to drag on and drag on. I don't want it to sort of take over the summer. Torreira, awful wear cut, by the way. Awful. we'll just sort that out, mate. At Melvin Marks, last one. I'll take this one real quick. He's saying, how important is it for everyone to get on Arteta's... how important is it getting the team to give it the all for Arteta because of the coach's quality? And he said he feels Arteta has that abundance. And we agree. We've talked about that already, Melvin, with the likes of Niles and Xhaka and the comments they've made and the U-turns that we've seen from them, not only performance-wise, but just in terms of not letting, you know, outside things affect them. I think they've both suffered from stuff that you wouldn't want to see from a fan base. You know, we know Niles did on, I believe, on Instagram, and Xhaka, obviously, we know the incident with him. So Arteta being able to sort of motivate those players and make them sort of feel, you know, energy with the club again. Those are just two examples, I think, of players just really sitting and singing from the same hymn sheet. And of course, with anything like this, there's not always going to be every player that comes along. And maybe we're seeing that with Guendouzi, and maybe we're seeing that with Ozil. Though, to be honest, what we're seeing from Ozil has happened under pretty much every manager. Maybe not Wenger, but I think it did happen under Wenger. I think Wenger was just accepting of it. Mm-hmm. You
summed it up a couple of podcasts back, Jack, when you said in this year he's had three managers and all three managers have gone, "Don't fancy you, mate."
Yeah. When you see that regularly, you know it's with the player. It's got to be with the player. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, we said that about Pepe initially, didn't we? We said Pepe was being sort of played and not played, and we were wondering why. But we've seen a massive change with Pepe, and Arteta's spoken about the change with Pepe, and Pepe's clearly being motivated by this manager. Another example, Melvin, of a player that is clearly sort of behind the manager and trying to do his all for the manager. We saw how well Pepe worked defensively in the last two or three games, things we haven't seen from him. Just stuff that we hadn't seen before. So that's a really interesting point. Predictions, I'm going to give Marks first because he couldn't get back on, and it's probably my fault that he couldn't get back on. So I want to give it. He said 2-1 against Leicester, Lacazette. So he thinks Lacazette's starting. Neil, what's your prediction and your first score? A massive game. They won, I might add. They won 3-0. They've been on a tough run, but they bashed Palace 3-0, so they're in winning race. Go on,
but Palace aren't us. So
that is true. That is true. I hope. Yeah,
and they don't have Mustafi. And they don't have Mustafi. So
that's right.
So
positivity on me, Neil. Come on,
bollocks!
I want to hear it.
Let's do a route. I don't care. I want that Vardy to eat his words about us. I'm going to go for 4-1, and I think I'm going to say he hasn't scored. He didn't score, did he, in this game? So I'm going to say Aubameyang 4-1.
Aubameyang 4-1, really?
Yes. Yeah. Nice.
God, jeez. Yeah. All right. James?
2-1 Pepe.
2-1 Pepe. Yeah, expect Pepe. Hopefully everything's okay with his child. And I had no idea he was married, I'll be honest. I'm devastated. No, I had no idea he was married. I didn't. So I follow him on Instagram. I don't see anything, I don't think. But so yeah, hopefully he comes back in. You said what, Pepe? What was the score? Sorry.
2-1.
Oh, so you're going same 2-1. Score as Mark, but different score. Yeah. I'll go 1-0 Aubameyang.
Okay.
Aubameyang. Yeah.
I'll take all him. Wins.
Yeah,
that's
we'll
the good
take
thing.
Them. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Don't thanks. Care how it is. 3 points is what we want.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a few people. Thanks to Rob Parrott for. I like it when people just sort of, you know, sometimes they'll just say, go listen to this and not necessarily
God,
off.
It's been sensational.
Yeah, Rob Parrott, Simon at Saiguna, 84, at Saiguna 84. I don't want to get it wrong. It sounds terrible. Forget it. But
Neil, have you still got your list?
Us.
That you've no, I'm going to try and get that at the end of the season. I'm going to do it then.
At Charlie, at Grind It Out, brilliant, you know, always just sort of tweets the podcast. Mm. And
before it even goes out, interactions before we've even dropped the thing.
Let me quickly just get one of the responses to the main one, because then we can just very quickly hold on for 1 second Carry on talking while you're...
Sure. obviously, really, Budgie, Simon, he's great. He told me his last name, Budgie. Mike Green does it always.
Gunner's Pub.
Lovely. Gunner's Pub. Mark
Nancy,
Martin.
Nancy Wright's on there.
Nancy
a lot,
Wright constantly always tweeting about the
podcast. Shout them out quickly here. We've got Eddie Mwanza. We've got Mike
Eddie's
Green.
Good.
We've got Nigel Soul, great bloke. We've got Matt, come on you Gooners, and it's at @LeChamp_Champ. We've got Barry, AFC. We've got Mark Martin, which you've mentioned. We've got the one which I can't back on top soon. It's
I've got him. 11.
You got him. Yeah.
KGA.
We've got some bod called Purely Arsenal. We've got Willie. Don't forget Willie. Michael obviously hasn't been on the pod for a while. And we've got Arsenal at Arsenal Best News. Nancy,
Anthony,
you mentioned.
Who edits. You've got to give him a big shout, Anthony.
Got another couple of pods called Jack and James. And then obviously we've got Mark
Hinckley. Andrew Hinckley does his own podcast.
And this is what I'm scared of, because there are so blooming many, right? And they all support the button. I don't want to do one where we miss a few people out. We've got Joe, what's his name? Oh, I speak to him so much. The poor chap who's got
comedy
back.
Yes, Joe.
Beautiful message he sent us a couple of weeks ago.
That one really
touched me, saying that obviously he's saying about his quality of life currently with the problems that he has, and that us three or whoever is on the podcast give him so much joy and what have you. And I'm like, oh my God, to read something like that is sensational.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And this really touched me. This is why I'm scared of doing this, because then there's going to be a few people that we may miss, and I hate to do that, because they all support the pod so well, and I want to thank every single one of them, because without them, you know, we it wouldn't be as fun to do. You know, we might still do it, because for us it's just us talking about Arsenal, but this just gives it that extra little something, you know, and I love
it. I hate to be some, you know, I hate to go all cheese and everything else like that, and by all means, if you two want to stop me, but at the moment, with the way the world is and everything else, you know, there's so much negativity and horribleness in the world that we currently live in. And to get, you know, obviously, you know, you can't interact as much with your loved ones or with people that you care about and stuff like that. And to just, you know, to just turn your phone, for me, just to turn my phone on, see sometimes that I've got like 25 to 30 notifications and I'm like, oh Christ, what have I always think, what have I done now? And it's just, it's just lovely. Like, it's always, you know, lovely stuff about the podcast and everything else like that. And I've said it before, obviously, when I went into my rant about another Arsenal channel. But obviously, when we all can, and when it's all safe to do so, by all means, when we can all go back to the football, if people want to meet up with me and whatever, then I'm 100% more than happy to speak to these people face to face. You'll probably end up not liking me if you meet me face to face. I'm willing to give you the chance to decide for yourself.
And let's not forget Anthony Palm, because without him, we wouldn't even be doing this.
Honestly,
you know, he's someone that's without him, we wouldn't even have the pods.
Just like yourself, with your time difference and everything else like that, he must work through the night to get that up in the morning for people that are commuting, you know, in the UK, because that's a lot of what we get as well. I get a lot of messages about, oh, you know, you make my commute a lot easier and everything else. Mm. And, you know, I'm like, well, if you're not laughing or you're not agreeing with us, make sure you keep your eyes on the road and everything. You know, I know sometimes we can make each other laugh, and obviously, you know, when you're laughing, your eyes are closed and whatever, just keep them open, keep your eye on the road.
But truly, from all our hearts, we thank every single one of you, even the ones that we've forgotten to mention today. We'll try and do it again properly and see if we can find everyone that always consistently supports the pod. But honestly, we are truly, truly humbled. I always say in every one of my tweets, everyone that I try and that I get a notification and I thank personally, and it's a genuine thing. It's not just not artificial. It's purely, truly from the heart. And we are very, very humbled by it. And, you know, it's just a pleasure, it really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I don't get to go back and thank I can't keep up sometimes, but I try to. I try to tweet them out and thank them, whether it's in a tweet to all of them or individually. So we appreciate that because we remember people have stuck with us for the last 3-4 years, or if they're just new listeners and are listening, that's also fantastic. So we really appreciate it. So and when we're winning, it's all the much better. So but we'll be back after the Tuesday game if I can wake you boys up early on a Wednesday. I'm already sort of bribing you into it as I'm saying it live on there. It's a way to do it, I guess.
Never a bribe. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to speak with you. It's a pleasure. Always.
Yeah, I can't wait until Jack goes back to work, so then we don't have to do these like 3 a week.
No, do you know what I mean? I said this. I went summer. Oh gosh, that means I've got to do one every few days, hasn't it? Can't do it. But yeah, we go back to work. It'd be back to the old once a week, but we'll be regular. But boys, thanks so much. We've got all the predictions.
Thanks a lot, guys.
No one got. Well, I'm trying to sort of mention them. No one got the Wolves one right, but Neil did get the score right. I think Neil. No, Neil said draw.
No, I said 1-1.
Yeah,
you said 1-1. I got the scorer, but not the score. I said Saka, but I said 3-2. So no one got anywhere near.
Yeah.
But never mind. But hey, I'll tell you what. I'll take either one of our scores for the next game.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So, all right, boys. Take care. Up the Arsenal.
Come on, you Arsenal.
Another massive week. Come on. Take care, boys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.